Portion of God's Word that we read this evening is Micah chapter 5. Micah 5. The text that we will consider is verse 2. The Word of God at Micah 5. Now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Therefore will he give them up, until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth, then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. And he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide, for now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth. And this man shall be the peace, when the Assyrian shall come into our land, and when he shall tread in our palaces, then shall we raise against him 7 shepherds and 8 principal men. And they shall waste the land of Assyria with the sword, and the land of Nimrod in the entrances thereof. Thus shall he deliver us from the Assyrian, when he cometh into our land, and when he treadeth within our borders. And the remnant of Jacob shall be in the midst of many people, as a dew from the Lord, as the showers upon the grass, that tarrieth not for man, nor waiteth for the sons of men. And the remnant of Jacob shall be among the Gentiles in the midst of many people, as a lion among the beasts of the forest, as a young lion among the flocks of sheep, who, if he go through, both treadeth down and teareth in pieces, and none can deliver. Thine hand shall be lifted up upon thine adversaries, and all thine enemies shall be cut off. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord, that I will cut off thy horses out of the midst of thee, and I will destroy thy chariots, and I will cut off the cities of thy land, and throw down all thy strongholds. And I will cut off witchcrafts out of thine hand, and thou shalt have no more soothsayers. Thy graven images also will I cut off, and thy standing images out of the midst of thee, and thou shalt no more worship the work of thine hands. And I will pluck up thy groves out of the midst of thee, so will I destroy thy cities, and I will execute vengeance in anger and fury upon the heathen, such as they have not heard. Thus far we read God's holy word. The text that we will consider is verse 2. Micah 5, verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, Micah 5 verse 2 is one of the most striking passages in all of Scripture. And it is so because it contains what on the surface seems to be contradictory statements. Micah 5 verse 2 speaks of a ruler in Israel, one in whom is all power and dignity and honor. But at the same time, Micah 5 verse 2 speaks of the one who would come forth from Bethlehem. Great and mighty rulers don't come forth from small and insignificant towns like Bethlehem. Furthermore, Micah 5 verse 2 tells us that this great ruler will come forth from Bethlehem. But at the same time, Micah 5 verse 2 says that His goings forth are from old, from everlasting. He shall come forth, but at the same time He has these goings forth. Two things that seem to be at odds with one another. But beloved, we know there are no contradictions in Scripture, and certainly there are no contradictions in Micah 5 verse 2. Because the ruler in Israel, the one who would come forth from Bethlehem, but the one whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting, is no ordinary man. We know that that one is none other than the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a marvelous prophecy in the Old Testament concerning our Lord Jesus Christ. Micah spoke this word at an appropriate time in the Old Testament. God's people at that time stood right before the captivity that they would experience. That's mentioned in the previous chapter, verse 10. O daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail, for now thou shalt go forth out of the city, and thou shalt dwell in the field, and thou shalt go even to Babylon, the captivity that would come. But Micah does not stop after talking about the captivity. He talks about the captivity in graphic terms, the reasons for that captivity. Verse 1 of chapter 5. But he doesn't stop there. It's not the end of the story for God's people in the Old Testament. He goes on. And what's the first word of the text that we are considering? The captivity's coming, yes. But the first word of verse 2 is, But, I have something to tell you. And what I have to tell you is this. There comes a man who will be ruler in Israel. And he's the one who will deliver you. Deliver you not from the physical captivity, but what we will see is he will be the deliverer of that which the captivity points to, the sin and bondage of death. A great word of hope, a great word of comfort for God's people in the Old Testament and for us still today. There will come a ruler in Israel, and he will be born in the city of Bethlehem. We see that this evening. The ruler in Israel from Bethlehem Ephrathah. The ruler in Israel from Bethlehem Ephrathah. We notice in the first place his humble birthplace. In the second place his eternal goings forth. And in the third place his appointed position. The ruler in Israel from Bethlehem Ephrathah. His humble birthplace, his eternal goings forth, and his appointed position. We recognize very clearly when we read Micah 5 verse 2, that this is a prophecy concerning Jesus Christ, an outstanding Old Testament prophecy of Christ. And what Micah 5 verse 2 emphasizes more than anything concerning the Christ who would come is His birthplace. The Lord Jesus Christ would be born in Bethlehem. This is the only prophecy in the Old Testament that makes that point explicit. He would come from Bethlehem. That this is the main idea of Micah 5 verse 2 is evident from the New Testament history. We know that history as well. The wise men from the east followed the star, the sign of the birth of Jesus, to the city of Jerusalem. And they inquired, where is the babe who was born, now at that time no longer a babe, when the wise men got there. And so Herod wondered the same thing, and he called the prophets together. Where would the promised Messiah be born? And those men knew the Old Testament Scriptures, and they went to Micah 5 verse 2 and told Herod and told the wise men, this is where he would be born. He'd be born in Bethlehem Ephrathah. And the text itself makes it clear that that's the main point of Micah in this verse. It's clear as can be that he wants to emphasize this. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come a ruler in Israel. The point is this, Micah starts with the birthplace. He does not say, the ruler in Israel shall come forth from Bethlehem Ephratah, which is little among the thousands of Judah, but it's just the opposite. He calls attention to the fact that it's from Bethlehem that this one would come. And so therefore, that's where we must begin this evening. Together, we must go to Bethlehem. And when we go to Bethlehem, we learn, as the text says, that Bethlehem is little among the thousands of Judah. That word little in the text is not referring to the size of Bethlehem, although that certainly was the case. Bethlehem was, when it comes to population and size, a little town. Rather, that word little is referring especially to the fact that it is insignificant or unimportant. Bethlehem was an insignificant town, and it was so compared to the thousands of Judah, is what Micah says in the text. Now, Micah is not comparing Bethlehem to the thousands of other cities in Judah. That can't be the case, because there were not thousands of cities in the region of Judah. Rather, the idea is similar, but not quite that. We need to realize that in the Old Testament, what they did was divide their territories and their cities in a helpful way into thousands. So that when he says, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, he's not referring to thousands of city, but these groups of thousands, these clans, or these little towns. That's the point. But the overarching point is simply this. Compared to everything else, thou, Bethlehem, art a insignificant city. A city of no consequence. Unimportant in the grand scheme of things. And we can see that when we look at the city of Bethlehem. That's even why Micah adds in the text, Ephratah. There were actually two cities in the 12 tribes named Bethlehem. There was a city in the tribe of Zebulun named Bethlehem. Micah adds Ephratah, showing the region where this Bethlehem was, because it would not come to the minds immediately in the people in Israel that the Bethlehem that he's referring to is the Bethlehem in Judah. So insignificant was this town that it was necessary to add that point. It's the Bethlehem in Ephratah. In Joshua chapter 15, we have a list of all of the cities in the region of Judah, or in the tribe of Judah. If you go to Joshua 15, you would see, according to my count, at least roughly, there are over 100 cities listed in that passage. So insignificant is Bethlehem that it did not even make that list of 100 or so. Bethlehem did have a place in the Old Testament history. Of course it did. We know that. Bethlehem was the great city, or not the great city, but the city in which the great king David would come from, the outstanding type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one would think that the fact that David came from Bethlehem would elevate that city to a place of prominence in the Old Testament, but it never did. Still, Bethlehem was insignificant. But it could be no other way. You see, there is great significance to the insignificance of Bethlehem. Because the fact that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem, the lowly, insignificant town of Bethlehem, was part of the saving work that He came to accomplish. Jesus had to be born in humility. We mentioned that this morning. He had to be born in a lowly state because everything that Jesus came to this earth to do revolved around His great work of saving His people from their sins. And that started already right when He was born. There were many other things that pointed to that. The manger, the swaddling clothes, no room for them in the end, but the very city in which He was born pointed to the humiliation of our Lord Jesus Christ and pointed to the fact that this Jesus came for your sins and mine. To see that the case, just look at the opposite. The opposite would be not born in Bethlehem, but born in Jerusalem, the city of the King, the great city in the Old Testament. And one born in Jerusalem would not be born in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. They would be born in luxury and comfort. Not so for our Savior. We see the humiliation of Jesus already in the very place that He was born. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. That, people of God, is seen in a striking way in the very city that Jesus was born. And so, God in His decree carried out the prophecy of Micah 5 verse 2. Jesus was in fact born in Bethlehem. And this is a great thing to consider. When you look at the story of Jesus' birth from the viewpoint of fulfilling this prophecy, you see the sovereign hand of God at work. Because everything, from an outward point of view, said this: Mary would not have that child in Bethlehem. There they were in Nazareth, many miles away from Bethlehem. Mary was great with child, but you see God controlling all of the events. So that when Mary brought forth that child, this prophecy would be fulfilled. He would come forth in Bethlehem. The decree went out, forcing Joseph and Mary to go to Bethlehem so that it was there that she would bring forth her firstborn son. God controlled, God directed all of the events for 4,000 years so that on that day, Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem was the focal point of all of God's work in the Old Testament, leading up to that. And from Bethlehem, all of history since then has flowed forth. The birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Marvelous to look at the sovereign hand of God in leading, directing all things so that this prophecy would be fulfilled. And the one that was born that day in Bethlehem, the one whose birth that we celebrate on this Christmas day, is the one whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. That too is a beautiful description of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Those are words that prove to us beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Lord Jesus Christ is God. powerful proof for the divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot say about any other man that his goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. That can be said about one man that came into this earth, the Lord Jesus Christ, exactly because Jesus Christ is God. John 1 verse 1, John 1 verse 14 state this exact same truth. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The beginning, not the beginning in Bethlehem, but before that, the Word existed. And then verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Powerful proof for the divinity of Christ. And looking at a passage like this gives us opportunity also to remind ourselves of the importance of maintaining the version of the Bible that we use in our midst, the King James Version. Because this is one of the passages that is compromised in a serious way by the other and newer versions of the Bible, one of which is the NIV, the very popular NIV. The NIV makes a very significant change to Micah 5 verse 2. The end of Micah 5 verse 2 in that translation is this: whose origins are from old, from ancient times. Now, if that does not deny, it at least very much weakens the truth of the divinity of Christ. Whose origins? The moment you talk about an origin, you imply that there was a time before that origin in which the person did not exist. And you can't say that about the Lord Jesus Christ as the second person of the Trinity. And then it says, from ancient times. Not everlasting, but from ancient times. Time here on this earth. I say again, if it doesn't deny, it at least weakens the truth of the divinity of Christ. And beloved, the moment that you say that the Lord Jesus Christ is not God is the moment that you lose everything. You lose the very gospel itself if Jesus, the babe born in Bethlehem, is not God. We see the importance again of a faithful translation of the Word of God. And what this verse tells us at the end when it says that His goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting, is not only that this Jesus that was born is divine, but what this shows us is that not only did He exist, but He was active. He worked. We see that from a couple of things. We see that from the present tense. It says, goings forth in the present tense. Doesn't say that He had gone forth or He went forth, but He's going forth. Continuous action in the present tense. And it also says in the plural, in the second place, goings. In other words, He did things. There were things that this one that was born in Bethlehem was accomplishing before that day that He came forth from the womb of Mary. And that's because the one born that day was the second person of the Trinity. And we see His work from everlasting. He was there in eternity as a member of the triune God. He was there at the very beginning in the work of creation. We see His goings forth and His great work of creating all things. John 1 verse 3, all things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. We see the goings forth of this Jesus in the work of creation and all throughout the Old Testament. This is something the catechism students will know. We emphasize that. We see how we can see Jesus Christ in the Old Testament and the work of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. And one of the ways that we see the goings forth of Jesus in the Old Testament is in the angel of the Lord. Over and over again, we read of the work of the angel of the Lord. That's a pre-incarnate manifestation of Christ. Evidence of His goings forth and the work He did in the Old Testament. From everlasting, the text says. But the implication that is that it's to everlasting as well. Started in Bethlehem. All His life long. His death, resurrection, ascension. The outpouring of His Spirit. And we see it still today. As the ascended Lord, He gathers and preserves His church, controls all things until the great day of His return. The one who was brought forth in Bethlehem was God, the Son of God, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting and to everlasting. And the one who came forth that day was also the ruler in Israel. The ruler in Israel points to the great position that Jesus holds as King. The babe born in Bethlehem is King, ruler, having dominion and power over all things, but especially the church. The text says that He's ruler in Israel. And Israel in the Old Testament is the New Testament church. There's many passages that we could point to make that clear. One of them is 1 Peter 2 verse 9. There the apostle uses Old Testament language, pulls Old Testament phrases and applies them to the New Testament church. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood and holy nation, a peculiar people. By doing that, Peter shows that Israel in the Old Testament is the New Testament church. Christ is King. Christ is King of us, His church. He rules us by His Word and by His Spirit. We saw that in the Catechism a couple of weeks ago. And therefore, we submit in all of our life to this ruler in Israel. He's our ruler. We submit to Him willingly. And He rules us especially in the way of and because He delivered us. And that's the context of Micah 5. The context is the captivity. But this ruler in Israel comes. He'll be the deliverer. But all that captivity does is point to the reality of that captivity. And the reality is the bondage of sin. This morning we saw how He's the great remover of fear because He's the Savior. Tonight we see the same thing. He's the deliverer. Deliverer from all of our bondage and slavery of sin. He's the ruler of Israel, the ruler of us, the church, as the ascended Lord. But we could broaden it even more. And we see even more the glorious exaltation of Jesus. He's ruler over all. Psalm 2 emphasizes the great power that Christ has over everything. It's a marvelous verse that we have here. Because what this verse does, it takes us from the very beginning. A babe born in Bethlehem, in humility. It brings us the very end. Ruler in Israel. Ruler over everything. The great and finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've looked at everything except two words in the text. Two significant words in the text, right in the middle. Prepositional phrase, unto me. Yet out of thee shall He come forth. Unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel. Unto or for me. Who's the speaker? It's God Himself. Jesus Christ was sent forth for God. And what this prepositional phrase does is it takes us back into the very eternal counsel of God. And we see the primary nature of Christ in the decree of God. Unto me, Jesus Christ was appointed by God Himself to carry out the great work of God. The great work of saving His people in the way of His death, in resurrection and ascension. And He does this all. He does this all for the glory of God. Unto me, the Lord Jesus Christ was born. Unto me, unto God, ultimately, so that what He did accomplished the greatest goal of all things, God's glory. God's glory in the way of saving us, His people. What a great work of God. God certainly doesn't need us. God certainly did not need to save us. But in God's good grace and love for us, He determined that He would send forth Jesus so that we might be freed from sin and death and slavery, the captivity of sin, and we might be brought into life with God through this one, the babe born in Bethlehem, God Himself, the ruler in Israel. Thanks be to God for that great work. And may we more and more submit ourselves to that great ruler, our Lord Jesus Christ, until the great day when His goings forth will come to a conclusion here on this earth in His great return. Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, what a wonderful way that we could conclude this Christmas day here in Thy house of worship, seeing another great truth fulfilled from the Old Testament in the birth of Jesus in the city of Bethlehem. May this have been a good day for us, a spiritually uplifting day, but may this day have brought honor and glory to Thee especially. Forgive what was said or what was heard in sin for the sake of Jesus, the great ruler in Israel. Amen.